Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header. Shoots across, goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. So, a new manager means a new era has begun, and that was kicked off with a win away from home at Cambridge at the weekend. A point gained in the AFL Trophy despite losing on penalties. The manager is concerned about strengthening depth, and has Max Bird been invigorated in midfield? All this and more to come, so stay tuned. Chris, good evening. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Busy last 40 hours of football. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Can't complain. Yeah, it has been a bit of a busy time recently, hasn't it? As we said, obviously in the intro, a lot to discuss. Now, where do we start? I was going to start on a bit of a negative, as in a little bit of a tweet I may have put out last night, which I didn't think. I think it might have been taken a little bit out of context. So. Basically, Paul Warne then was speaking to Radio Derby after the 1-1 draw, 6-5 loss on penalties to Mansfield in the AFL Trophy. And he says, what do we learn? Our strength and depth isn't amazing. They're a little bit down there. Had to pick them up with some jokes, really. Effort was there, but the application was misguided. To which I responded, finally, a manager that realises our academy products aren't all that good. Now, granted, I was very tired and I was a bit disappointed after the loss, so I probably should have worded it a bit better. What I was actually alluding to was the fact that over the past 2-3 seasons, maybe a little bit longer, you know, obviously a Mel Morris, you know, saying, oh, we can win stuff with our academy and all this. We're now getting to the point where we've got a fresh new manager in with new ideas who's taken a look at what's left of our academy and can see that they look like they're not up for scratch. Now, a lot of people responded saying it's been ripped apart and all this, and I'm among, was one of them, spouting rubbish as usual, but you might have a point, that's fine. But my point really was, we have got a first team, you know, the 22 or 25 that are there. Now, yesterday against Mansfield, obviously we drew 1-1, and there was a mixture of of those guys on the fringes like Forsyth and Stearman, those sort of, you know, the senior players you like, but mixed in were with the likes of, I think, Darren Robinson made an appearance, Agatis made an appearance, and Bartosz Cybulski started, and he clearly is looking at that with fresh eyes going, I'm a bit concerned about these players and the academy. I don't think they are up to scratch. And I have to agree. And I just think that we look at the players that have come through the academy, Aaron Cashin, Max Bird, Jason Knight, Lewis Sibley. They're sort of regulars that are in the squad week in, week out. Liam Thompson, which I sort of look at, and well, you know my thoughts on Liam Thompson. You know, I don't, you know, he's not great, not in my opinion anyway. And you look at them and you go, yeah, Aaron Cashin, I think he's a, you know, very good defender. He's doing well. He's, you know, starting week in, week out. Max Bird, again, another one, starting week in, week out. We'll talk about him later on in the show. Jason Knight, again, someone week in, week out. Sibley, I'm starting to have my doubts about. He's really not becoming the player that we thought he was going to be. I don't know what it is with him. Thompson, not really. Yeah, well, again, you know my thoughts on that. And the players last night that played, you could tell there was a lot of naiveness, a lot of mistakes. They're just not up to it. And if you look at the academy, the under 21 side, they've played 6 games this season. They've got no points. And they've also dropped out the group one of the Premier League under 23 or whatever it is called now, the Premier League 2. So it's not looking great for our academy, considering, you know, a couple of seasons ago, it was sort of up there and, you know, people were raving about it and we were, you know, getting fourth, third in the league sort of thing. It's dropped off since then. And yes, I do realise what's happened. I do realise that 3 months ago we didn't have a club, but we cannot keep using that excuse anymore. Am I wrong, Chris? Have I said something out of line, really, do you think? Or do I have a little bit of a point there? You don't have to back me up. You can disagree.
Never throw you under a truck, Simon. We discussed this a few months ago, didn't we? We were concerned that if anything was going to derail the promotion push would be depth. The academy structure is a difficult one. I think the hard work that was put into it to get it up to its Cat 1 status. There is some wonderful coaches there. I know that obviously working and seeing that unfold over the last 4 or 5 years, the quality was shining. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, we were winning the under 18s Premier League and in the Euro Championships. And playing the likes of the German champions and, you know, even getting on BT Sport with them. I think, unfortunately, when it comes down to the situation we're in prior the new owners, we were clearly pillaged and our stars of the future, you know, your Cade Gordons of the world, etc., your Liam Delaps were taken from us. I think you're right. If you want your back in, you've got that backing off me.
There's a first from you. Normally, you throw me under the bus.
I watched the game last night. And, yeah, I wasn't surprised with what I saw. When they had the starting 11 out there, which predominantly had, well, looking at the squad now, you had Stearman, Fozzy, Erin, Barkhausen, Max Bird, Lewis Dobbin to an extent and Hayden Roberts to an extent in there. They look comfortable and deservedly went 1-0 up. But then the second half became pretty much, I think at one stage, they were saying the average age was 19 or 20. And you don't mind that if they're all of the calibre of your Dobbins and your Asuros, but they're not, are they? Let's be honest. And I feel for the boys because they've been put into a situation that's very difficult to maintain the level that they expected because of obviously what they've all gone through. I don't think they were expecting to be in this squad so early in their career. I think most of them would probably put their hand up and say, we're not ready. On a positive, twisting that a 360, it tells Paul Warne everything that he needs to know and tells David Clowes everything he needs to know. And let's be honest, Simon, they probably know it anyway.
They've
probably seen it in training. He used it last night as an exercise to put minutes in the legs, to see them in a first-team scenario as best can be. And I just wonder now whether they'll be looking at the free market again this week and thinking we've got 6 weeks to get them up to scratch and up to fit, you know, up to fitness level that we require for our standard football for the busy December programme. So I wonder if it's a blessing in disguise because for an honest manager to come out with what he said straight away about he realises now that depth isn't there and he wasn't being critical, he was just being open and honest, then it wasn't an answer that we wasn't expecting, because let's be honest, we were all thinking it anyway. Mm. So I think it's actually a blessing in a strange way that kind of performance showed everybody and most importantly showed what is needed for recruitment, because the squad, if you keep the 15 fresh, and already we've lost two with Didsey out for 3 weeks, Corey Smith could be out for another 3 weeks, that's potentially 5 games they'll miss. You know, we can't carry on the season. like that. You know, we've got games in hand already building up. I think we've got two on teams now. And then as weather starts to take its toll with these smaller grounds, you'll see fixtures build up. And that's when your squad becomes even more important, isn't it? When you're doing, not only doing Tuesday, Saturday games, but they're throwing a Thursday for you. Look what happened to Paul Warne's former club, Rotherham, when I think they had to play, was it 8 games in 20 days, something ridiculous.
They just ran out of steam, didn't they? That was because of COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, it ran out of players. Mm. And I think they'll be looking at the free market. They've got a dilemma, aren't they, which we'll get onto, which is obviously the transfer window is still very, very limited and restricted to what it can do. Like, there's not going to be many freebies available, if any. There might be the odd loan here or there. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll be looking at the free market and seeing, I heard through the grapevine that, like, say, Danny Rose is still available. He's now up to fitness levels with Wigan. So let's see. Interesting. It was a valid comment, Simon, and I agree with your tweet.
Thanks. I didn't really mean any offence. I literally was absolutely exhausted, a bit emotional after the game, and I just thought finally a manager's come out and said it, because we've just had, obviously, you know, we've had Rossini there, we've had Rooney before, Cocu before that, all raving about our academy products. And don't get me wrong, the Cocu, the players he brought through, a lot of them were good. I mean, you look at the likes of Ebiyoe, Ebiseli and Plange, you know, it's just, again, three good players, but they've now left. So it was just sort of within the players we've got left. It just felt like the academy players we've got left, just unfortunately they aren't there yet, you know. And again, it was just a bit of a comment, just a thought. It was sort of a relief, because I was thinking, right, at last. Right, Paul Warne's here now. Maybe that's him saying to David Clowes that our depth is not within the academy now. We just haven't got the players coming through the academy now. We can't, you know, we can't just magic them out. So yeah, we do need to look, like say, in the free market, or when the window does open in January. You know, it'd be interesting to see if we can spend now. You know, I know we're in this business plan, but obviously with all the debts paid and everything, you know, it's come out, obviously, the supporters group meeting, that note was sort of, there was notes that came out the other week that the club's debt free. So maybe that changes where we are recruitment wise. But yeah, it was just, like I say, it was a comment. Maybe it was poorly worded. A lot of people took a bit of offense. It's quite weird, actually. I had 16 likes and 15 comments, so it was sort of evenly split. But yeah, anyway, we shall move on from that, though. I just wanted to clear that up. And so, like I said at the start of the show, a new manager brings a new era. The Paul Warne era has begun. It began on Saturday. 2-0 win against Cambridge United away from home. Our first goals away from home this season, and our first win away from home this season. 2 goals from James Collins at either side of the break. And Chris, did you know, obviously you watched the game, the display on a whole, totally different to what we've been used to seeing. Totally different. And I think we can only get better with time, with fitness levels. There was pressing, but it was pressing at the right time. There was playing football in the right areas. There was none of this tippy-tappy playing out from the back. No goal kips to cash in, then to Davis, to Chester, back to Cashin, to Bird. No, it was, let's get this ball forward. Let's use our wingers. Let's use our pace and power down the side. And let's get balls into the box. We did that. It was a comfortable win in the end, let's be honest. Comfortable. And that's what this team should be doing against a lot of these clubs in this league, is performing like that and outplaying them like that. I mean, I was absolutely, you know, really happy about seeing it. James Collins couldn't hit a barn door earlier in the season. One game under Paul Warne, he's bagged a brace. Everybody, and what struck me after that was there was a couple of interviews, one with Paul Warne and one with James Collins. I can't remember if it was after the game or pre-match versus Mansfield, but both said promotion, you know, winning the league is our aim. So he's come here to win the league, basically. He's not come here to get playoffs. He's come here to win this league. And these players clearly are behind him after that, if that first performance is anything to go by. What do you think, Chris? What do you think of that performance against Cambridge?
back to basics was one thing I noticed. I think the stats showed that Derby played 200 odd passes less than their average passing stats for the season, which tells you that they're being told not to pass through the front press and basically to clear the line and work hard to win the first phase, or if not the second phase in the midfield. Hence why I packed it as a five with your wing backs. I was pleasantly surprised that the players bought into it so quickly, because sometimes a difference in style is so close in games. Because let's bear in mind that Liam was in charge less than a week or so ago, and the last game he had was a win.
Yeah. Do you think the players have brought into it because it has been stripped back to basic? There's a lot of intricate stuff with Liam's style of play. A lot of just taking your time, building things, trying to keep hold of the ball. Whereas I wouldn't say it's gung ho as such, but this is playing football. You look at managers like Neil Warnock, football is a simple game.
It is. He's telling the defenders to defend. He's telling the midfielders to battle. He's telling the forwards to press. That's something that when they went in the previous roles under Liam, the defenders were asked to play football from the back. And with all due respect to the likes of James Chester and Erin and Curtis, yeah, Erin's got has got a good range of pass on him. But it takes a lot of pressure off their focus. If their focus is solely to keep a clean sheet at all costs and concentrate on that for 90 minutes, which I thought they did very well in general, then job done. I
Even
also,
Wildsmith
yeah, he just
looked
took,
a lot more comfortable in goal.
yeah, he just took the words out of my mouth. I was about to say he looked very calm and assured. He looked relaxed, almost like he knew the ball wasn't coming back to him.
That's what you want as a goalkeeper. That's what I said two shows ago. Well, it might have been the last show, but I did mention the goalkeeping thing, that you strip it back to basics. You, as a goalkeeper, you're there to save shots, claim crosses. That's it.
Yeah, I think the interesting comment I found from it when he openly admitted after that the system that he played relies heavily on the wing backs, and he openly accepts that he cannot expect Nathaniel Mendes-Lang and Tom Barkhuizen to play Tuesday, Saturday, 10 games on the bounce at that tenacity and that level. It's just not possible. So I wonder whether that was a hint that you're going to see possibly cover come in on both flanks between now and January, because he clearly has got a role for Dobbin and Osoro, who are going to run the channels and behind the back four and press. He's clearly got a new role for Jason Knight, who looked, as well as been playing this season, he just looked a different.
He looked back to his best,
Yeah,
didn't
he
he?
looked
He
good.
had that freedom of being in midfield, box to box, up and down. He looked good. He looked, yeah, don't, like you said, he's played well this season at right back, but it's not his position. It's he's a box to box midfielder, and yeah, he looked back to his best. And I'm glad you brought up Dobbin, actually, because he is obviously at Everton Academy. He was a striker, he was a forward. Obviously, bagged his first goal yesterday against Mansfield. Very good goal as well. Great run in behind the defence. Lovely touch and a great finish into the bottom corner. He could have had two last night, to be honest.
Good off.
He could have a one on one with the keeper, which put it past the post. But he looks lively. He looks bright. And I think him and James Collins, if they can connect and get a good partnership, then League One defenses are in for some trouble, because I just think the more he plays up front in his most natural role, he will get goals for us. And Collins showed now, when you get balls into the box for him, he will score goals when he's in the right place. Let's be honest, he's not someone that's going to belt it in from 25 yards. He's someone that's going to get you 6 yards in the box and stick it home.
It'll be interesting where McGoldrick fits into that system.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's out for 3 weeks, and you obviously you're adamant he's not a striker, but I think he'll be.
I think he might have to play striker.
Exactly, and I think he'll be someone they can bring rely on off the bench. Let's be honest, he's 37 years of age. He's not going to be running around pressing for 90 minutes like Paul Warren's asking you to. He, for me, will be somebody that Paul Warren, if we're a goal down or, you know, or a 0-0 or something like that, he'll be going, go on, Didsy, get your head on something in the box. Because again, he'll score your goals. Inside that box, Didsy's dangerous. And he can I think that's what he'll be asking of him. He won't want to run him into the ground, no way.
I was saying to another fan over the weekend, I was talking to him about, I wonder how many times or how many substitutions on average Paul Warren made at Rotherham over last year, whether he used all his sub available every game due to his requirements and the way and standards he expects his teams to play with his high press intensity. You know, 90 minutes for 11 players to do that is nigh impossible. So it'd be interesting to see whether he always uses full subs allocation to keep that intensity up. Because if now we've got five to use and sometimes even six if it's a concussion that happened last night, you know, with an Asoro and a McGoldrick on the bench, you've all of a sudden got a matching...
You mean Asula?
Asula. So I'll keep calling him Asura. So I said to me, who?
Is he? I didn't want to make it like a bit of a mug, but I thought it's damn
bad
in there.
Joe, I'm trying a new squash from Lidl. All good supermarkets, all of the good supermarkets aren't available. And since I've been drinking it, I've been slurring my words, so... Perhaps I need to check the alcohol content.
Yeah, you sound like you do. Just stick to... I've got Robinson's... See, look
William
at this.
Asula.
William Asula, yeah.
Now he's got William Asula and David McGoldrick off the bench. He can basically go like for like, replacing Dobbin and Collins. So,
you know what? I'm gutted that Asula was ill and missed last night's game, because I'd love to see him and Dobbin up front.
Mm.
They will stretch defences.
They will. But now is the time for me. I still would like to see, now you're playing a five, it does allow a third man to come through in the box. And I just wonder whether that will be Knight or Hourihane. It's certainly not going to be Max. And you're going to see Nathaniel Mendes-Lang getting, his responsibilities have changed now, clearly to press high and get crosses in. So I don't think you'll be seeing him in the box anywhere near as much as we have done at the start of the season. So I just wonder whether it's now Knights and Hourihane's time to really, really shine. I'm not saying they haven't shined already.
No.
But I just wonder if you'll see late runs into the box. It's interesting.
Hourihane's our top goal scorer at the minute.
Yes.
Yeah. So he scores goals. And, you know, he's got he can score from a range of places, you know, 25 yards out or 6 yards out. You know, if that ball's on his left foot, right foot, the likelihood is there's going to be a goal incoming, because, you know, he has got such a great strike on him. Knight, again, we've said it before in previous shows last season a lot, actually, that he needs to do more. You know, I can't remember which game it was where I was sat with you in the southwest lower corner. And we were watching him warm up, and you said to me, out of everybody in this team, Knight is the best finisher.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, so he just needs to start doing that on the pitch in games. And I'm sure he will. I mean, I did, after that performance, obviously, as I said to you, it's a bit of a baptism of fire. You know, Paul Warren comes in. Can he break our away duck? Can he get goals? Can he get a win? And he did it comfortably. And everybody was pleased with the style of play. It's entertaining to watch. You know, he's there to win games. You know, he's not a manager that's going to settle for a draw. He wants to win games. And we saw it last night, moving on to Mansfield. We saw it last night that, yes, we do look susceptible to the counter-attack because we do push men forward. But I think the way we're playing it, where I think Liam tried to push men forward, but we lost the ball far too easily. So we, you know, that's our team scored goals pass. That's how Charlton scored their goal passes and that away when we had men up top, lost the ball over the top, and we're in behind. I just think the way Paul Wall gets us to line up, we will concede chances. That's undoubtable. We will concede goals. But I just think he has a setup in a way, and he's got the players. And like you said, the players are behind him, that we will finally start scoring goals, and we will start putting big numbers past teams. I think it's only a matter of time now. I know it's only been, what, two games? I could say, I mean, Paul Warne didn't really seem bothered about the result last night. If you listen to his post-match, yeah, it's a good run-out. He's not fussed about the EFL trophy. His main concern is winning the League One title. That's what he wants. You know, he's not, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see a kid, you know, like a mixture of academy kids put out when we play Liverpool in the Carabao Cup. He's not bothered. The main aim for him is promotion.
Yeah, it's. I think one thing that is apparent now is that he's clearly focused on one thing and one thing only. And I think that he openly said that last year with Rotherham, although they ended up winning the trophy, he did say it became a hindrance towards the end of the season, and obviously it disrupted the flow of things. And obviously they only just, I think they got over the line last year, not because of their own results necessarily, but there was certain results that were affected by the tiredness of the players by being in both competitions. Just going back to what we were saying about the Cambridge game before going to Mansfield again, I think we've missed one crucial element, is James Chester. He's been back into the team, 2 games, 2 wins, right-sided player, can play right back and centre half, clearly now fit. And I think it just shows you what a big signing he will be. I think Curtis and Cashin are the three. And I think with Stearman as a backup, who I thought played well last night at Mansfield.
Yeah, Chris, your pick went down a pan then, didn't it?
I did. Hey, I got
you were adamant. You were like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Stearman start against Cambridge. Yeah. I don't think I was going to forget that, mate.
Yeah, all right. I admit I got that wrong. But Cashin deserves to stay in. You're right. He performed well for Ireland during the break. I was critical of obviously the mistakes he made against Plymouth.
That's constructive criticism, mate. Yeah, there was two big defenses.
But I think, you've got Eric Cashin on the left side of the three, he's got a very good left foot. Mm. You've got James Chester on the right, who's got a naturally right-footed, and then you've got Curtis, and you know what you're going to get with Curtis. So I think the foundation is there. The one thing that worries me again, and it goes back down to moving forward, is keeping those three fit.
Yeah, that is a concern. I mean, I remember it's the podcast we did just before the window closed, and we sort of like, what players do you want, or what positions do you want? I did say a centre back, just as a concern. But obviously, I mean, I suppose if one of them was injured, you've got Stearman. If another one get injured, you'd have to sort of look at the likes of Jake Rooney.
Who's injured?
Let me know how long's he out for. It's just...
Yeah.
How'd you get injured when you're both... It's just... But yeah, I agree. I think it is there now. I know it's only been one, two games, I think getting that away win, as I said to you, you could blame last season on mentality. This season, there was nothing to blame. Something just wasn't right. And all of a sudden, Paul Warren comes in. I mean, his reaction after that win, he was absolutely, it was like he'd won the cup or something, the way he reacted. He was so proud of getting that first win. And I think there's a little bit of pressure on any new manager that comes in. Because let's be honest, we weren't doing bad. We were, seventh in the league when Liam left and Paul came in. And, I think he wanted to start with a win, and it did mean a lot to him. And I just think it was a good game for him to come in. And I really liked what I saw. And you're thinking, well, if we can continue like this, and as he said, these players are athletes. They just don't know it yet. So I can only see us getting fitter and fitter and fitter as the games go on and the weeks go on, and he has more time on the training ground with them. It wouldn't, you know, I bet for the players, it's like they're almost in a little bit of a mini pre-season again. Now he's come in and he'll be doing a lot of fitness work, which is going to be needed for the style of play he has. I mean, I think we saw it last night against Mansfield. We were at it, you know, but then I think second half we sort of faded away, and maybe due to tiredness, the amount of changes, obviously young lads coming in. So we'll move on to Mansfield. I mean, obviously 1-1 final score. So we got a point, but then Mansfield got 2 points because they beat it 6-5 on penalties. I don't really understand it, but I don't get it. It's
bonus point and pepperoni meat feast all round.
Yeah, the PJ trophy. You can put anything you want for that, couldn't you? Won't go into that.
You're mine.
PJ, nothing else. Gee whiz. It's the pajama trophy.
Move on,
indeed. So we started off like a train, and we clearly caused Mansfield problems with our pacing behind. Like, say, Dobbin, I thought, was excellent in the first half, was causing them problems, should have scored early doors. Eventually did get his goal, and that's the sort of thing you're looking for Dobbin, though. You're looking for him to get in behind defences, open up defences, and it was really good, really nice, tidy finish, great little ball through to him, and nice little touch around the defender and curled into the corner. And you just thought, we're cruising here. And then we conceded an awful goal right at the stroke of half time. Straight. I mean, I'm sure it was an injury or something, weren't it? Just before the corner came in.
John Joe Tull,
yeah, he got head injured into or something. And it was just like we lost concentration. And it was a weird sort of corner, just whipped in. Scott Loach got sort of wrapped around with their attacker and the ball went straight there. I'll talk about Scott Loach, actually. Obviously, that's his second appearance that I played in the Grimsby game. I thought he did well. Apart from the goal, he looked really good. You know, he looks like, until Anang's back, he looks like a decent backup keeper. You obviously know him or know of him and everything. And you've always thought, yeah, no, he will be a good, at least backup keeper in this league.
Yeah, he's a 6.5 out of 10 all day long. And he did what he had to do last night. That goal was really frustrating, to be honest, because you could look at three aspects of that goal of why it shouldn't have gone in. Like the first zone of clearance is Aaron Cash in on the near post. For some reason, he missed the flight of the ball. I don't know whether he jumped too early or too late, but he clearly misunderstood the flight. Then you've got Bart Cebulski, who is the second zone of clearance. He just washes the ball past him. I understand he's facing the goal, and there must be a nerve of whether you stick your toe out, is it going to go straight in? And then you've got Scott Loach, who... Is he being impeded by their forward? There is an argument. But even so, I think he was very reliant on cashing, clearing the ball from the first zone on the near post. Scott Loach did okay, yeah. I like Scott. Like I said, I've met him a couple of times. He's a good coach. He has a big following at youth level. I thought that his distribution isn't obviously as comfortable as the modern goalkeeper, but Scott's been around a long time, and what you see is what you get. He looks fit, which is good, and he looks assured, and he's not frightened to come off his line and stick his body where needed. You're always going to get the danger of a fresh back three or a different back three and a different keeper not communicating. And I think there was times where communication fell apart, especially in the second half, when changes were made. But you can't put that on Scott. I just think last night was the first half. We could have easily been game over.
Yeah, I think,
we could have gone in 2 or 3-0 tied it. You know, And then obviously Mansfield, Cloughy realised, as Cloughy does, that yeah, this game needs to be more physical. He looked at, he clearly looked at Derby's bench. Although saying that, Cloughy brought on a striker from that he signed from Long Eaton United. So, but it was men versus boys, Simon. Let's be completely honest. It was men versus boys. I'm not convinced that you'll see many of those guys around the first team squad this time next year, if you want my
Well,
complete and utter honesty.
I mean, you look at the team that started: Loach, Forsyth, Cashin, Stearman, Roberts, Thompson, Bird, Sibley, Barkays, and Dobbin and Cebulski. So it was that starting lineup weren't they weren't that bad. You know, a lot of every one of them's played first team minutes before. So, you know, quite a lot apart from Cebulski, who obviously missed a great opportunity in the second half to seal the win for us. Really need to smash that high rather than low. You know, that's again, you look at that from a coaching point of view, you go, striker's there, he's one on one with the keeper. Keeper's already committed, he's gone low, smash it high. And he's just trying to place it round and he saved it with his foot. That was his big opportunity. And that's, but again, the thing was, if Vasula wasn't ill, would Cebulski have been starting? No, probably wouldn't, may have
No,
been on the bench.
it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been. You're right, and I'm looking at the substitutions now as we're talking. Who came on for who? So let's look at the front. So obviously Mendes Lang came on for Barkhuizen, which Paul Warne said that was already planned. Aduro came on for Dobbin, which apparently was already planned.
I never got
Knight.
that one because he put Mendes Lang sort of up front, didn't
Yeah,
he?
yeah. And I think he was just trying something, to be honest, and it didn't work. Knight came on for Bird, which was pre-planned. I think Sibley started off brightly and then faded very, very quickly, as you said at the start of the pod. I think there was real
It's, I don't,
business.
it's just we've spoke about Sibley before on here. It's
Yeah, we can. It's a broken record, isn't it?
almost like Tom Lawrence was just so inconsistent. On his day, can play for any team in the world,
And
but
I like the guy as well. I like Louis, he's a great guy.
he is a nice guy, but he just needs to add some consistency. You know, there were so many times that, like you say, he was lively, he was making runs with the ball, but then he goes, "Shh,
Do you know
what do I
what
do
I
with
think
it?"
he needs? I think he needs a loan.
Away
I
from
really,
what,
yeah, I
to
think he
League
needs
One
a
or
loan.
League Two or?
Well, I don't think you're going to get him a loan in one, but I think he's the kind of guy that Cloughy would do well with. I think if you sent him to Mansfield, or you know, somewhere local where he can be observed. You know, I'm sure that Paul Warne has got contacts who could get the best out of Louis Sibley. But just,
Northampton, maybe. I mean, they're
yeah.
obviously they're flying in League Two at the minute.
Yeah. Something.
Even someone like Salford, to be honest, just because I think I know what you're saying. I think he could do with a change of scenery.
I do. I think he's gone. I think there's become almost a staleness about his whole career. It's become.
Settled, I think, is the word.
Yeah, and I think he needs a loan somewhere. And I look at someone very similar, the lad who's at Barnsley now, who was another.
Luke Thomas.
Yes, Luke Thomas, a very similar situation. Who started off bright at Derby, was the next big thing, went stale, went out, changed clubs, and now he's doing really well on a regular at Barnsley. And I just think that if Sibley went somewhere like Mansfield, under Cloughy, someone who could really get the best out of him, I think it would benefit everybody.
Yeah, I mean Mansfield are doing all right in League Two. I mean, I think they're sat just inside the playoffs at the minute. So it's not
I
as if
just
he's that's a good shout, to be honest.
I saw he came on in the last 5 minutes against Cambridge. I just don't see Sibley being around Paul's plans in my opinion. The other one I was really disappointed with last night, and this sounds really critical because he's a young lad, was Darren Robinson. He looked to me that was not a good game from Darren at all. Now, I don't know whether I think he slipped into a back three, didn't he? When he
Yeah.
was, I just don't think it suited him.
He's
I
17,
don't.
isn't he? Let's be honest.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I can't be too critical because it's rabbits in headlights and what have you. And it was a very physical Mansfield team. But like we said at the start of the podcast, Simon, it's actually a good exercise because it now highlights a recruitment requirement. So we need a recruitment team now, 100%. It highlights everything that we've spoke about previously. We're not going to obviously go on old ground again, but it just frightened me somewhat how quickly over a 90-minute, well, let's be honest, how quickly within half time to 60 minutes the game just fell apart. Now some people could turn around and say, well, like you said, we change youth for youth.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, but there's a standard of youth, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about the age, it's about the standard and the ability.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, last night, you know, you got I just enjoy watching it because it's watching Derby, but you know, I'm not bothered if we, you know, I mean, it's, you get a bit annoyed if you lose. I mean, you want to win every game, and I think Paul Warburton's right. We had plenty of chances to seal the game, to win the game. I think Hayden Roberts hit the ball, Cebulski at the post. So obviously Cebulski missed a sitter as well. But equally, Mansfield was sloppy finishing as well. They had chances to put the game to bed and didn't take them. And yeah, it just felt like one of the nights where both teams could have played for 120 minutes, 180 minutes. To still want to put another one in the onion bag. So yeah, it was a run out. But I will actually, I've just mentioned it there, Hayden Roberts impressed me at wing back, you know. I thought he did really well, and he was putting some early balls into the box. And obviously, I know you mentioned it around Barkhausen and Mendes Lang aren't going to be able to run up and down a flat, up and down a channel at the tempo that Warren wants them to do for 90 minutes. Hayden Roberts, for me, last night, I thought had a really good game. I know Sean Barker, for whatever reason, gave Scott Loach man of the match, but I thought Hayden Roberts had a really good shot of it. He impressed me last night, considering when we've seen him under Liam Senior, he seemed a bit shy going forward, or he didn't really like getting forward. Last night, it was almost as if Paul Warren said to him, just go up the line, put balls in the box. That's all I need you to do. That's it. And he was like, okay. Simple.
Simple game. He said, isn't it? It's a simple game. And let's be honest, it is.
It is indeed. Right. We will move on to a certain player. Now, this highlighted to me last night, and that was, we lost the midfield when a certain Max Bird came off the pitch. Now, you know that I've sort of, I wouldn't say harshly judged, it was judging him on his performances, that they just weren't up to the standard that we've seen Max Bird capable of playing at. Over the last 2-3 games, we are seeing a better Max Bird. We are seeing a Max Bird that's starting to create chances. We are seeing a Max Bird that I think hasn't really got to focus on defensive duties in midfield. His duty is just to get the ball and get it forward. And he seems to be invigorated in this new role that Paul Warren's got him playing under. I know it's a similar role to what he's got, but it's almost like he's got a little bit of freedom. He's not got to come back, take the ball off the centre-backs, then go forward. He's just got to be a midfielder. And I think we're starting to see the best of Max Bird again.
And he's also got a rather good ally to the right of him in that midfield, hasn't he?
As in Conor Horihan.
And Jason Knight.
Jason Knight. When you've got Jason,
he's got an engine with him.
Yeah, and that's what he's needed. And it can only be a positive. And it's one of the things where you sometimes see Max Bird have someone in midfield with him. He'll have a great game, and then the next few games he won't be. But I thought he was brilliant against Cambridge. Set up Collins's goal. Lovely. But you got to think about it. In fact, if you watch that goal again, the second goal, he wins the ball back in on our edge of our box, marauds forward, and then slips a lovely little inside ball into Collins to score. And you're thinking, now that's the Max Bird that we're used to seeing. So I don't know where he's got his confidence back, but that Max Bird needs to continue playing like that week in, week out.
But it was also a Max Bird, Simon, that wasn't asked to chase the ball for 75 minutes prior to it. He clearly had energy left in his body because...
Yeah, because you said he's looked unfit.
Yeah, yeah. And I obviously worked on his fitness, but I also think that he's not required to, although he was there defending and defending well, I think if you watch him throughout the game, there was a lot less application to go win the ball and more application on distributing the ball. Mm. And that's two different games. And we know that Max's game is definitely the latter, the distribution. You know, Paul Warne said openly last night after the Mansfield game, nothing surprises him now with Max Bird. He thinks he's an excellent player and he's got an excellent temperament and clearly he likes him. You've got to protect him. You've got to protect Max. To get the best out of Max, you've got to get him out of the trenches.
Mm.
Let other people work in the trenches and let Max do the damage. And like you said, quite rightly, he did the damage with the reverse pass to James Collins. He did the damage last night with Dobbin. So, yeah.
And that's it. And that's what you want from him. And, I mean, obviously, it was Hayden Roberts who got the assist for Dobbin's goal. See, Hayden Roberts, mate. Great game. But Bird did give Dobbin a chance before that, where Dobbin put it wide, put it wide, didn't he? But yeah, he just showed what's Max. But and to be honest, the change at halftime, putting Knighty in there, you had a midfield three of Knight, Thompson and Sibley. There was no one in there that was putting the foot on the ball and going, right, this is what we're doing. They just missed that in midfield, I felt, when Bird went off. You could totally, and that's where we got overrun in midfield by Mansfield in that second half. So it's always going to be tough.
Yeah.
Always. Sibley, he wants the ball, he wants the room defenders. That's what he wants to do. Knight, he'll box to box you, but he does struggle to find that creative spark, but he's that engine in there. Thompson, I'm not sure what he does apart from lose the ball.
He was part of the discussion on Radio Derby, wasn't he, after, between Darren Robinson, who I think is doing a fantastic job on there, by the way. If you listen, Darren, keep up the good work. And Dominic, who actually, we're saying, it was an interesting comment. They said that he is a player that's been coached to cope in the Championship, but he's now gone into League One and his style of football doesn't suit the League One game. And I found that a really interesting comment coming from a coach and analysis background. And I think he's got a valid point. I think that Thompson is yet to find his... Well, you know, he's not going to get your support through various reasons, but he's still struggling to find his natural position. I don't know what his natural position is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the problem. That's what gets me about him is I look at him and go, people go, oh, he's composed on the ball and all this. Fair enough, he took a good penalty last night. I'll give him that. He looks composed on the ball. And I mean, he's 20, isn't he? So he still is young. But I've never, it's nice looking composed on the ball, but you've got to do something with it. And I just, it might be a valid point that Darren made, that he's been coached to play in the Championship and now he's in League One, his style of play doesn't suit. But I just think he needs to get in the gym. He needs to get stronger. He needs to learn how to keep the ball. If he's not going to keep the ball, then he needs to learn how to draw a foul. You look at Jason Knight. Jason Knight will draw your fouls all day long. He knows if he runs into trouble, he knows the slightest touch, he's going down, he's winning the free kick. I agree with you. I cannot see what his position is. Because he's not a CDM. I'd hardly say he's a box to box. He's just sort of there.
I just wonder whether he will be Mendes Lang's backup.
He's a winger.
Yeah, wing back. Because you've got Adoro. So I've pronounced that one right.
Well done.
I don't think he's pulled up any trees whatsoever.
He's not had the chance, though.
No, he hasn't had a chance, but he's still seen him week in, week out in training by both managers. He's been there since the transfer window. He came with rave reviews from Man City.
But but you've got to think about it. If he's been training at Man City, they'll have a style of play. You know what I mean? They'll have this style of play of, you know, if you're trying to keep the ball, which is obviously why Rossini wanted him in. But I think he's got to then adapt and learn a new type of way of football. But I still think he might have He might have some. But we've got him for 2 years. And I think I said it on the last show that he'll be someone that this year it'll be about development. It'll be about learning about Derby, about Warne and his philosophies and cultures and his style of play and all that. And then next year is when he'll get his chance. That's what I believed anyway. He was always going to be a backup at right back, I suppose. I'm assuming, you know, Liam wanted to find a right back. He went, well, Adore is available, so I need two right backs because I haven't got any at the club. And obviously he was never able to find that first, you know, that starting right back. So
here's a question on that then, Simon. If that was the case, what happens if, well, we are, when we get promoted, I've got to stick
look at the confidence oozing out of you, Chris.
That's what happens then, because you are saying that he's got a 2-year contract, he's being prepared for the second year. I always got the impression with that signing, he was being prepped for still a League One campaign in year two. Now, I still think that the dilemma comes that Paul Warne and Richie Barker and Matt will be sitting there today going, we can't rely on Mendes Lang and Barkhuizen. If we cannot bring in two players to cover those two in January or before, we are going to have to quickly choose what we have and mould them. Now, the question is, who do you choose either side as their backups? Because I'm not sure if they both have... I think Mendes Lang has an injury history. I'm not sure Barkhuizen's got a history. I'm not sure. He may have.
Yeah, who
do you have as backup?
Robert's definitely on the left. I think that's he can fit in at left wing back. Or you've got Fozzie if that's not an option.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think the left is covered.
Yeah, but yeah, the right. I think I don't know because we've tried Sibley out there, doesn't work.
Ebicelli would have been your obvious one.
Yeah, Ebicelli, obviously, or, you know, but obviously he's not here. So, yeah, it's going to be a dilemma, and it's going to be interesting to see how that does process in the future, I suppose. But, yeah, it is a tough one, that. I mean, I just don't think Thompson's the sort of person that's going to get down the wing, though. He might all of a sudden go, okay, this is my bag. I can do this. But I just don't think he's strong enough. I'm trying to take my bias head off here that I'm not the biggest fan of Thompson. But I just think if you're putting him at wing back, defensively wise, I don't think he's strong. I think people go past him far too easily.
You could chuck in Sibley's name in as a
We've tried that though, haven't we? Look, he was, you know, Rooney tried. Well, he's tried him on the wing. It still is that process of building. It still is. We've got a team, I suppose, a starting 11. Then it's up to obviously Warne to go right. What do I do in this situation? You know, it might be a case of right. Then I might have to put Dobbin out as a wing back. If you know what I mean, bring a Suter on, put Dobbin as a wing back.
Well, let's look at it as a manager. Let's look at it as a fitness coach. Let's look at it as a backroom staff member. When you go into a season, especially at League One, should we say, the injuries are apparent at two obvious times of the season. One is pre-season at the start of the season because the pitches are rock hard or fundamentally they are dry and you can see them being watered to allow the stud to go in. And you always get injuries from hard pitches. It's common. The other time that injuries happen and occur is going into the period now, November, December, where the pitches get muddy, they get bogged screwed down, they get screwed up, an ankle twist and get stuck. And I think that they have to be prepared for that. And I'm not, all right, we're not in the 1970s. I know some people will be listening to this going,
we're not at the baseball ground. They just chuck sand on it nowadays.
I get that. But you still got to go to the likes of your, you know, you look at Burton's pitch and Burton's pitch chews up in the winter. And I know Accrington certainly does.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to go to Accrington in the next couple of weeks. And if you imagine the weather we've had today, and you throw that onto the Accrington pitch, like, look at Mason Mount.
Yeah, yeah. It's lovely weather, though. I love autumn. It's brilliant.
Yeah. You go back to when we beat Accrington in the Cup.
That messed up our season. That messed up our playoff from Big Star.
It did. And they openly admitted that the pitch, he shouldn't have played his players like Wilson and Mount on that particular pitch. He was worried about it, and inevitably it happened. We haven't got that luxury this year. We've got to play them, and I just wonder whether, like I said at the start of the pod, he'll be now on the phone looking at the freebies catalogue, seeing who's left, who's training with who, where they're at with their fitness. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of people coming in over the next 2 or 3 weeks on freebies who will be given a task, and like you said, Simon, to get onto the regime of getting fit. Because if they are already training with clubs and they're at 80% capacity, it's a perfect opportunity to get them ready for a very busy winter schedule. And I think Paul Warren's a very astute guy. He'll have his eyes out on options straight away. And again, it comes back down to what we said earlier and previously. Does he bring his own recruitment team, or is he expecting the club to bring in someone? But I think that showed everybody last night, including the fans, that is now a very critical element.
I wonder, do you know, like some managers like to hint? They like to throw subtle hints out. I wonder if he's had this discussion with Clowes already.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a discussion they've had, and it's just to sort of hint at the fans that, yeah, it's concerning the squad depth, but we are looking. But obviously, do you know what I mean? Just trying to, because obviously it will be freebies. I don't know who's out there. There's probably is quite a long list, but it to me that sounded like he was hinting that he will be looking at freebies. Well, see if we can bring anybody in.
They'd have to be to the end of the season contract anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Or they can just have it till January, and then we'll discuss it come January. Yeah. We've seen that before. So
it was interesting when he said that. Were they misguided? Yeah, was he saying that the younger players and the inexperienced players didn't quite understand the guidance from the coaching?
Well, yeah, I mean it could be, because yeah, it is a shout, because obviously they've all been under Rossini, been under Rooney, some under Cocu. They've all been playing this certain type of football where you've got to have this technical ability. You've got to be quite intricate. You've got to play, play the triangles, keep hold of the ball at all costs. Now they've got a manager that's come in that's just saying, right, let's just play football. Go out and...
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if the players now have got a little bit of freedom to express themselves a bit more. Because I'm watching it and I looked at the likes of Max Bird yesterday. Whereas before under Rossini, even under Rooney, he would be looking for that simple ball all the time. Now he's looking to turn. As soon as he gets that ball, he's looking to turn and go straight and go forward. And I think you're right. It is now a case where, well, you either work with the players that you've got and get them into your philosophies and say, look, basically, you need to just put it to the back of your mind what you've been taught so far. This is how I want you to play football. This is how you football is a simple game. All you've got to do is put the ball in the back of the net. You don't have to play tippy-tappy football all the time. You know, you pass and you move. That's how we were coached. Pass and move, ball into the box. That's where you score goals. It's simple. It really is. And obviously, it's just about putting it into practice. And it is a good shout. So it will be interesting to see what develops over the next couple of weeks, whether we do bring anybody in.
I would love what we would have to do for a podcast, Simon, perhaps next time around. If there's clearly a free agent list available to see, I'd love to read it and see how many are left on there. Because Darren Robinson says that this. It'll be interesting, Simon, next podcast to get the free agents list that's available, because clearly there is one. Darren Robinson alludes to it many times when he's talking on Radio Derby, and obviously that's his job, working with iScout. And how many people are left? Like, I'm just quickly scouring now on transfermarket.co.uk, and I don't know how updated this is. It's just, there's just players on here that you know of, and as soon as you mention their name, you go, "Oh, he hasn't got a club. He hasn't got a club." Like the Matej Vydra's on here. I don't know if he'd been taken up since. I have no idea. Danny Rose is on there. Well, he's a left back. We were talking about him at the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Playing on the right, we said here he's a left back. People like Dale Stevens, who's played against us many times. Andre Wisdom is still available. Apparently, he's been playing.
Wasn't he trained? I swear I sort of heard, or he was trained at Birmingham or something.
He was at Portsmouth, wasn't he?
Portsmouth, that's it. I knew it was someone that played in blue.
Sammy Amiobi, wasn't he at the Red Dogs?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
You know, Grant Ward, Danny Simpson, he's a right back.
Isn't he like 39 or something?
Yeah, probably. Phil Bardsley, he's 37. Danny Simpson, only 35. But it just shows you the dilemma you're at regarding how you fill the spaces.
And it just goes to show that you can get those players that haven't been. Gary Rower did it with Joe Ledley.
Yep. And Cameron Jerome.
They were brilliant assets that he brought in. That you're thinking, not got a club, probably not fit. But Cameron Jerome, when he got fit, that the last bit of that season, that's where he shined.
It was fantastic for Luton last year.
Yeah, he was awful for us, though, when he came back the following season. Mm. I'm not surprised Lampard got rid of him because he was dog. But yeah, he went obviously away to Turkey, didn't he? Then he's come back at Luton and he's done well at Luton. But you can find him. So yeah, it will be interesting. To see, just finally, then before we finish, we'll move on to Port Vale at the weekend. My birthday on Saturday, Port Vale.
No hint taken there, Simon.
My birthday, Chris. Are you going?
I'll be watching the game Saturday. I'll be there. I'm actually reffing before it. In another sport, but that which I won't mention, you don't allow me to no more.
would it be ball by any chance?
Yeah, something very similar.
Ask but, it ball or something. Yeah,
that's the one. But you should say that. Yeah, you know. But I'll be watching. Port Vale are an interesting team, aren't they?
I look at the game and think that should be 3 points. I generally do. I've always been a big fan of Paul Warne. You know this, I know that. You know, I've said it when we first started this podcast at the start of the season. I'd love to have someone like Paul Warne come in. A friend of mine has been like, why is everyone going mad about Paul Warne? He's only had one game with us, but you know, which is fair enough. You know, they seem to think, you know, they want to see, make, you know, one game's one game. So they do have a good point. But you look at somebody like Port Vale, obviously, what, the 17th, something daft like that in the league.
They've got 12 points. They've lost the last two. You would expect them to be in the bottom six throughout the season. I think if they stay up, they would have had a successful season.
Mm.
They got beat 1-0. At home by Sheffield Wednesday, which is you know, no disrespectful result there. Sheffield Wednesday flying.
I mean, their away form isn't too bad. I mean, you look at the last what five games, they've won two, drawn one, lost two. I mean, the losses were to Peterborough and MK Dons. They drew against Barnsley, absolutely tonked Shrewsbury 4-0, and then beat Burton. But everybody was beating Burton at that time. So
yeah, but Shrewsbury was a popper, John. And
oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine that Shrewsbury played absolutely no one out of their first team in that tournament, because again, they're another team who will be looking at staying up as a success.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because they played Shrewsbury at home. in the league a couple of days before and beat them 2-1, but that was at home. But yeah, they are an interesting bag. But I just think at home we should be winning every game. The Plymouth game was a blip. Other than that, we should dominate teams at home. It's a big pitch. You know, you look at some of the teams that come here, they won't be used to playing in front of 26, 27,000 fans. It will be nerve-wracking for them. And I just think we've got the quality. And I think Paul Warren gets that second win, gets the first win at Pride Park for himself. And it is my birthday, so we must win because it is my birthday. I'm going for a bold score prediction of 3-0. I'm going to go for a James Collins hat. No, I'm not. I'm going to go James Collins hat trick, mate.
Wow. Well, putting my statistician's head on, I think it's a must-win game because obviously there's a gap between us and the top. I think it's is it 11 points with a couple of games in hand.
Yeah, it's between Plymouth. Yeah, Plymouth. They've got 28. We've got 17. So yeah.
But you look at the teams who realistically we're going to be challenging with, and I'm looking at the fixtures, and you would say that most of them have got fairly comfortable games where you'd expect them to win, like Bolton are at Forest Green, Ipswich are away at Morecambe. You know, you look at Ipswich, they're 2-5 on to win away at Morecambe. Peterborough at home to Burton. Plymouth are at home to Accrington, Portsmouth are at home to Fleetwood, Sheffield Wednesday are at home to Cheltenham. So you would expect the big boys or the top six to be getting another 3 points. And I think, you know, it puts a bit more pressure on us to get a result against Port Vale because we've got Ipswich at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And I think if we are going to be competing, these are the must-win games.
Yeah, I mean, that was, again, you know, you look at the game against Plymouth, you know, that set a marker. We should be, obviously we beat Peterborough who, you know, were there, you know, were up there with us, which is you need to win. But you look at teams like Plymouth are on absolute fire at the minute.
Well, they're top, aren't they? They're top.
They can't stop winning. Sam Cosgrove can't stop scoring for them.
Yep.
Ipswich, again, another team that, you know, again, that they want to get out of this league. They've had enough of it after one season, so they want to get out of this season. So that will be the big game that we need to win. But we've got to win those games leading up to that as well. So, yeah, you look at someone like Port Vale, down in 17th. I mean, let's be honest, the gap's only 5 points between them and us. But we have got two games in hand over them pretty much. So, we've got to go there. We've got to keep making sure we win our home games. You know, we won our last one obviously against Wickham. We've got to go again, and I just think we will. Like I said, easy 3-0, 3-0 win.
Just maintain consistency. Just maintain that ability not to lose.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Warren knows what Pride Park's like. He's played here. Well, he's managed here enough times.
I think there'll be 30 plus there. I know that Port Vale have sold out their allocation of 2,700. They are only 40 minutes down the road. Well, actually about an hour because they're on the other side of Stoke, aren't they, in Tunstall and Oldacre. So they're a rowdy bunch, their fans as well. They like a good party and they'll bring a decent atmosphere. So I think it's the kind of atmosphere that Port Vale will thrive in. I score prediction, I'm going to go for 2-0 and I'm going for Curtis Davis again, as I do every week.
Oh, to get a brace or what? Who's your second goal scorer?
Curtis will get one. And I just think that Dobbin, now he's got his first and now we can see his ability to come inside with a lovely first touch.
Yeah.
Might just show the way he likes the ball because clearly, he's got the ability to make his own space and the ability to beat the back line.
Mm.
And I think the confidence will come good. I think Colin getting another hat-trick would be nice. But I just think on a Pride Park pitch, I don't think it's going to be scrappy like it was at Cambridge. I think you're going to see better football played. I think you're going to see Dobbin wanting quick ball. And I think you'll see Dobbin start to shine now. He's starting to be the player that we all hoped he would be.
I think key is scoring early. Score yeah. early, silence the away fans. You know, let because otherwise Port Vale will just do what every other team does and sit back and look on the counter. So
we need a big game from Barkhuizen. I think
yeah, he's been quiet, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got off the radar a little bit. I think it'd be nice to see him have a big game. But I'm confident of a win. I think Port Vale will make it difficult, but I think once we get a grip of the game, I think you're right. I think tactically wise, I think you'll see nothing but a brick wall put against you. Mm. I think if they come away with that with a 0-0, they'll be pleased because it's a bonus point, isn't it, to them?
Yeah, exactly. The amazing thing is though, Paul Warne's done what every other manager we've had. Well, not every other, but the likes of Rosina, Rooney, Cocu have. He's worked hard to play against teams that sit back, and that's put early balls into the box.
Yep.
Who would have thought it was that simple?
I know.
You know,
it's like we said, Simon, football is a simple game. It's how you adapt to scenarios. And I think that Derby adapted very well to the scenarios that were thrown at them by Cambridge, who are a good side, Cambridge. You know, they went down last night to Ipswich in the end, but at half time I believe it was 0-0, and I think Ipswich got the better of them, which they
Chris, you unplug your microphone. That is such bad timing. Sorry folks, due to technical issues Chris is no longer with us. But yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying.
I pulled my microphone out of my headphones.
What a wally. Can't get the staff these days.
I know. I was getting excited. Now, what I was saying was that, you know, results that happened last night at Ipswich and what have you are now going to become more of the norm. Mm. I think you'll see now consistency with the top six. And I think we need to be in there by the end of October. Obviously, we're playing Ipswich at the end of the season. People are still going to come to Pride Park as a cup final. But I think you've now got the mentality. It sounds really bad. We're not dishing Liam and we're not dishing anyone from the past. But we're now looking to the future. And I think, you know, I have to put my hand up. I wasn't a fan at first when Paul Warne was given the job. I was a bit sceptical. But I've become a believer. I've ate humble pie very, very quickly.
Good lad.
I admit that. And I like the guy. It's all systems go, mate. Oh, and have a great birthday on Saturday. McCall's in the post already. If he doesn't get there, I can only apologise.
I'll blame the Royal Mail. It's fine. Thanking you kindly. Exactly. I said to you, you know, you've been banging on about we're going to win the league or get promoted this season.
Yep.
I was never convinced, but we've got the manager now. I said to you last week, that's your manager. That's your promotion manager there.
Yep, I think.
Fully believe it.
I still think that if we can get through the winter with a very good home form, we've now changed that. If we can keep this away form going now, we've got our first win. I think that there'll be very few teams. Fitness is the key, as we've said at the podcast. Let's keep them fit. We've got the right people in there to keep them fit. Let's see what happens.
Magic, what a way to end the show. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris, for your wonderful insight and your coach. See, that's what I like about you, coaching analysis that you give me on the goals that we can see.
I'm just a very sad, nerdy coach. I like to see all kinds of different things on a... You look at a goal that's conceded and you think, oh, bugger. I look at it and go, how could we prevent that? And
yeah.
It's very sad. I need to get out of that habit.
That's why we love having you on the show, mate. That's why we love having you on the show. And we obviously love having you guys that listen to the show. So thank you to everyone that has tuned in, liked and shared as well and given us your comment on your opinions. We like that. We like that sort of stuff. We love the feedback. So remember, yeah, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at RamsWriter, Facebook. I've got a Facebook page, RamsWriter Podcast, Instagram, the RamsWriter Podcast. Follow Chris on Twitter at DCFC_CMH. And as always, we shall see you next time. Hopefully another win on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time. And as always, come on, Derby.